I'm excited to be here this morning. You know why? We're going to start out with a test. A quiz. Oh, come on. Everybody likes quizzes, right? This is for you Bible trivia fans. Are you ready? Who was the first missionary Jesus sent out? I think. Jonah? No, not Jonah. Well, it should be someone well-trained, right? With an intimate relationship with Christ, a devoted follower, close disciple, have a thorough knowledge of Scripture and a sacrifice. Any ideas? No? Okay, you want some hints? Sure? Okay. Don't look in the Great Commission. You're not going to find it there. Don't turn to the names of the disciples. This spokesman wasn't on that list. How about the 72 disciples sent out by Christ? Nope, wrong again. How about looking in the epistles? Nope. Long before Paul wrote the first one, this man was already at work. Anything yet? Any guesses?
John.
Who?
John the Baptist.
No. How about if I told you that Jesus found his first missionary in a cemetery and this man was a lunatic?
Oh.
No? I see some blank looks. Well, you know, I always told you guys, don't ever accept what I say until you weigh it against the word of the Bible, because I'm a human and I make mistakes. But I think I can prove this out, that Jesus sent out a madman as a missionary. So I purposely didn't put my scriptures in the bulletin today so you wouldn't be able to cheat. So let's turn to the book of Mark. Chapter 5, verse 1. And you'll probably start going, oh, as soon as I start reading. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. And the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. You know, as I was reading his scriptures this week, and studying them and thinking about them, you know, we can read the Bible thinking that it's a history lesson, or a book of facts for us. But you know what? The Bible is a book of stories, captivating stories. Hollywood couldn't write a script as great as this story we're talking about today. It just filled me up to overflowing, and I'm excited to tell you about this man. But you know, if this man was here today, you know what type of man he'd be? He'd be the ones your friends told you to stay away from. He'd be a man that the police were always locking up. He'd be a man who stalked through your neighborhoods, and he'd be a man that was always causing trouble. Back then, Palestine didn't know what to do with him. They restrained him, and he broke his chains. He ripped off his clothes. He lived in tombs and burial caves. He cut himself with rocks. He was like a rabid dog on the loose. He was a menace to society and absolutely no good to anyone. No one had any use for him except for Jesus Christ. Now you read this story, and this encounter with Jesus was explosive. I mean, Hollywood can't come up with this stuff. It's so good. The disciples' boat beaches close to a cemetery, close to a big herd of hogs. Now we have to remember that these two items, this cemetery, these hogs, are both ritually unclean and ceremonial unclean to the Jews. So that adds another depth to our story. Jesus landed here. And here come this man, a crazy man, storms out of his caverns. Just imagine him, wild hair, kind of like I have some mornings. Bloody wrists from cutting himself with rocks, all scratched up. A demon's fury all wrapped up in a man's body, and here he comes. You see, he had inner spiritual problems. But the people of that time tried to cure him by using physical restraints. They couldn't help this man in physical matters because his problem was spiritual. And it took the man, Jesus Christ. All the laws and regulations they could have could only treat the outward man. They could do nothing about the inward problems, the spiritual problems. The laws could affect his behaviors, but not the source. No law then could change this man. No law we have today could change this man. No code of moral conduct was going to bring about the changes that he needed. What I'm trying to tell you today is the list of laws that we have won't change our hearts. And that's what we need changed. We need our hearts changed. Let's go back to our story. Chapter 5, verse 6. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, the Son of Most High God? I implore you, by God, that you do not torment me." For he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine, that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. You know what's so awesome about these verses? That's right, Rodney. We get to see, for a brief moment, a spiritual battle in the flesh. You see, we're standing by when these evil spirits come out of this man, and we get to see physically what happened when he entered the hogs. It was wild. It says he ran violently down the steep places. Can you imagine that? I think of the disciples standing there. I think of myself standing there. I'd be standing where my eyes great big around and my mouth hanging open because what I just saw. I saw a battle that turned into the physical so I could understand the violent nature of these demons and the things that they can do to a man. And we're going to go on and see what can happen when that man is finally released. You know, the demons asked Jesus, "What do you want?" Verse 7 told us he wants the man back. Jesus' mere appearance humbled the demons. They could offer no challenge to Jesus. They knew who he was. Satan knows who Jesus is. And there's no challenge. There's no threat that those demons could offer to Jesus Christ. They could only stand and they could plead. See, they could dominate the people around them. But the man of Jesus Christ, they could do nothing but cower before him. They had an entire region in fear. But they begged for mercy from Jesus. And I want to ask you today, what would make you think that it's any different today than it was back then? The demons today can still offer no challenge to Jesus Christ. They can still only beg and cower in front of him. So whatever spiritual battles that we're fighting, whatever demons we're wrestling with in this world, the strength of Jesus Christ is still as strong today as it ever was. And those demons that we wrestle with The spiritual battles that we fight still have to bow before Jesus Christ. The same today as it was then. You know, we hear nothing from the disciples during this battle. There's nothing in our story, in our text. But you know, they were doing the best thing that they could possibly do. They could stand back and watch and let Jesus fight the battle. And that's what we have to do today. We have to learn to stand back, turn to Christ, and let Him fight our battles for us. Because these battles are in the spiritual. They're not here in the flesh. They're not here in the physical, where we may think they are. We may see the remnants. We may see the stress that is coming on people. But believe me, the battle is in the spiritual. What about you today? Is there a spiritual battle that's going on within you? Is there an issue that you need to tackle? I want you to use the example of the disciples here. Step back, maybe a little wide-eyed, and watch Jesus fight. I get so excited. Let's have a little recap here about our story. Jesus and the disciples landed in a boat. The disciples watched as Jesus goes into action. God delivers a lunatic. Pigs are embodied by demons. And a disciple was made in a cemetery. You think that's an outlandish story? It's an awesome story, but you just wait. There's more to come, and it gets better. Let's go back to Mark, chapter 5, verse 14. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus, and they saw that the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. They were pleading with Jesus to depart. Now there's the outlandish part of the story. We just saw this wonderful battle unfold and Christ be the victor. And they asked him to leave. They were afraid of what Jesus did. What would cause these people to choose swine over Jesus Christ? I believe it's a fear of change. And I don't think we should judge these people too harshly. And like they say, we take a look at ourselves and see what we'll put before Jesus Christ. I think people are more willing to live in the fear of demons than make that change. Because let's face it, change is scary. Change is hard. But doesn't God call on that for us? Doesn't He call on us to change our lives? Change is hard work. But we have Jesus Christ to help us. We have the Holy Spirit, the gift of God, to move us forward and make those changes in our lives. But these people dismissed Jesus, and He got back on the boat. In our lives today, it's easy to dismiss Jesus. We can come here and we can sit in these pews and call ourselves Christians. But don't we also dismiss Jesus because we don't want to make those hard changes? I can come and feel better about myself. I can feel better about myself every time I open my Bible and get into God's Word. But unless I apply that to my life and I'm willing to make those changes, I've just dismissed Jesus and told him to get back in the boat. So you see, I can't judge those people any harshly than I judge myself. Let's get back to our story. Mark 5, 18. And we got into the boat. He who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how He has compassion on you." And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Wow, Jesus got in the boat. The man that Jesus had just freed ran down to the boat and said, "Take me with you. I want to go. I want to be with you, Jesus." What did Jesus say? He said, no, you can't go with me. That seems harsh. Jesus just saved him, saved his life, saved his spirit. And Jesus says, no, you can't go with me. But you see, he had bigger plans. Verse 19, it says, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had compassion on you. Well, there it is. Commissioning of the first missionary. Aha, I was right, wasn't I?
Yes.
Jesus had plans for him. One minute, insane, and the next, he's in Christ.
Yes.
No training, no teaching, no 40 hours of classwork to be a missionary. Jesus said, go home and tell others what happened to you. All he knew was Jesus did great things. And apparently that was enough. He went to Decapolis. That means a city of 10 towns. So we know he told a story in 10 different towns. He told about the great things the Lord had done for him. Told others about Jesus Christ, about the change in his life. You know, we don't know the results, but we do know the scripture says all marveled. That means they all stood in awe of what Jesus Christ had done. We don't know how many people's lives he changed, if any. But we do know that he went back and people had the opportunity to hear about Jesus Christ. An opportunity to know the changes that Christ can make in our lives. The problem is here today. Christian churches all across our country, all across this world, because Christian churches are growing silent. They're not telling about the change that Jesus Christ has brought on for us. Maybe it's because people are coming to church for comfort and not change. Maybe they're coming here for acceptance, but not the change. I'm afraid that too many people are coming to church and have not felt that change in their life, have not experienced Jesus Christ in their hearts. There's too many Christians that are living the same old lifestyle because they haven't accepted Christ here. They know about him up here, but they haven't yet accepted him here. There's too many Christians that aren't the new creatures. There's some of us that have the different outward habits, but we're same on the inside. Too many Christians are silent about the change that Jesus offers because they haven't experienced themselves. The blessings of God can be taken for granted. God blesses me every day of my life, and I don't ever, ever want to become jaded or take that for granted. You know, I've told you before, it's like the stars in the sky. I believe that if the stars only came out one night a year, this whole world would stop and look up to see the stars in the sky that one night. But since we have stars every night, we just go through our lives, never bother to look up because they're always there. And that's how it can get with God's blessings. We can just accept them offhand. I never want to lose that awe in knowing God's grace and the way his love pours down on us every day of our lives. Yeah, we have rough spots. Sometimes we stub our toes and fall down, but you know what? God is still there. He's on the throne. Jesus Christ is at his right hand, and the Holy Spirit still dwells within you, just waiting for you to turn back and say, God, please give me a hand up. And he's there. He's faithful. Don't take God's blessings for granted. Let's all stand together, bow our heads. I want you to just listen to me for a minute before we close in prayer. I've told you a great story. At least I believe it's a great story. It's full of truth, it's full of power, it's full of grace. And I believe that Jesus Christ brought you here today to be changed. Why else would you be here? We come here and we walk into the presence of the Almighty God. Or at least we should. You know, maybe you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I hope this story piqued your interest. And you know what? I would love to share with you my story and the changes that Christ made in my life. There's a lot of people in this church that would just love to share with you and bring you to that understanding. And believe me, Christ offers so much. His love, His compassion, and His peace. But don't think for a minute that this message was only meant for the lost. It's meant for the Christians that have Christ in their head, but not yet in their heart. I believe God called you here this morning to be changed also. It's time to realize there are spiritual battles going on, and we fight them every day. You need to choose who's going to be your advocate. Are you going to fight it in the physical, or are you going to allow Jesus Christ to lead that battle in the spiritual where it should be? Jesus will give you a life free of oppression, of fear, and of pain. He will replace it with compassion and love and hope. But it takes a change. How are you going to respond this morning to the change that Christ offers? Are you appalled by the thought? Are you scared of letting Him make the changes in you? Let's face it, we have things in our life that we love, things that we don't necessarily want to give up. But sometimes those things separate us from Christ. They separate us from being, as they say, all we can be in our Christian life. And I want to know this morning, are you willing to give Him everything? Are you willing to humble yourself and give Him it all? Or are you going to choose this morning just to simply marvel at the work of Jesus Christ and remain unchanged? There's a call this morning for you to change. Heavenly Father, Lord God of the universe, Father, I read the stories in the Bible and I am amazed. I am humbled. Father, I am ashamed because I see myself so many times in these people. But Father, I see the hope. I see the answers that You give us in the actions of Jesus Christ. I see the lessons that You want us to learn. And Father, I just pray this morning for myself and for everyone here. We'd be willing to make that change in our lives. That we don't push You away out of fear. We invite You in. Father, I pray that You will pour Your blessings out upon this church family, upon all these people and their families, Father. That they would feel Your love and they would know that You are there. You are in control. But we have to turn to You. We have to allow the Bibles to be fought by You. Father, I just praise You, and I lift You up. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.